I titled my sermon today, From Martin Luther to Modern Unitarianism, Universalism. And I'm speaking to you because Martin Luther just passed the 500th anniversary of his starting the Reformation, which paved the way for Protestantism and eventually to Unitarianism and Universalism. Let me describe the path from both a historical and a theological perspective. Martin Luther, the priest, professor, and monk, was born on 11th November 1483, near the end of the 15th century, in Eisleben, Saxony, Holy Roman Empire. Not Germany, because Germany didn't exist in those days. It was a small town about 80 miles southeast of Berlin, and he died in February 1546. Let me first talk about some historical facts in the era of Luther, the big picture. The Roman Catholic Church, led by the Pope, led by the forces of the Roman Emperor, had imposed Christianity over Western Europe, while Eastern Europe was led by the Orthodox Catholic Church, and pockets of heretical Christian sects were found in North Africa, the Middle East, and India. Columbus had just discovered the New World for Spain, and Carlos I was getting rich from Inca plunder, and by 1515, when they conquered Mexico City, from the Aztec plunder. The Muslims in Granada, Spain, had been defeated by Castilian Spanish, who also expelled and killed its Spanish Sephardic Jews if they didn't convert to Catholicism. The Muslim Ottoman Turks, which had conquered the Byzantine Empire in the 11th century, had taken over Constantinople and changed its name to Istanbul. And they were at the doors of Vienna in 1529 and 1532, and they were narrowly defeated. Most of us of European ancestry might have had a Muslim ancestor if the Turks had won then or when they tried again in 1683. Governments had been partially consolidated into national monarchies in Spain, which included Belgium and the Netherlands, but excluded Portugal, and also in France. However, Italy and most of Northern Europe consisted of many small duchies and states, nominally supervised by the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, who was appointed by the Pope Leo X in 1520. However, many of the princes of these states were stronger militarily than the emperor, so they could defy his orders. Europe was just coming out of feudalism, and many poor ex-serfs, or peasants as they were called, lived on farms with a 90% extreme poverty and with 30% of children dying before 5 years old. The middle class was just beginning. However, everyone would be living in houses heated by fireplaces with no indoor plumbing or running water. Literacy was limited to the upper classes, the priests and professors for the most part, reading in both the vernacular and in Latin, with perhaps 10% of the population literate in Old High German. Luther's father was middle class in those days, living in one of the few towns and leasing copper mines at smelters. And he also served on the local town council. He sent Martin Luther, his eldest son, to school to be a lawyer, to help him with his business. But Martin became bored with law and loved theology and philosophy. Luther soon came to the opinion that human beings could learn about God only through divine revelation as written in the Bible, not through Catholic teachings alone. He resolved to become a monk. He entered St. Augustine's monastery in 1505. 3 years later, he was ordained a priest, and in 1512, he received a doctor of theology. He became chair of the theological faculty at the University of Wittenberg, which is just outside Leipzig. The Reformation started because of the avarice of the corrupt popes during the Renaissance of the 15th and early 16th century. And Pope Leo X needed funds to build his large new basilica in Rome, St. Peter's Cathedral. And part of the way he raised money was to have his minions sell plenary indulgences, which would remit all sins of their buyers so they could go directly to heaven. Luther objected. In the year 1517, 500 years ago, he put his 95 theses, called Disputation of Martin Luther on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences, on the Wittenberg church door with a copy to the bishop. He also disputed the power of the Pope to decide faith and moral questions. These objections actually were raised 20 years earlier by a priest in Florence, Italy, but that was too close to Rome, and he was quickly branded as a heretic and burned at the stake. One of Luther's early teachers taught him not to accept verbal authority for his faith, but to rely on original sources, in other words, the Greek Bible primarily. Since Jesus was claimed to have said that quote, anyone who believes in me will live even after dying, which is from John 11:25, Luther believed salvation came as a free gift or grace from God through belief in Jesus as Christ. Good works alone were not enough for salvation, but would come naturally to those who had faith. This contradicted Orthodox Catholic teaching established in the year 325 Common Era by the Council of Nicaea and also challenged the Pope. Luther also believed all baptized Christians were priests, not just those ordained. And he believed neither the Pope or the church councils were infallible. As you would guess, Luther was immediately in deep trouble with the church. What saved him were three factors. One was the strong support of the Duke of Saxony that kept him from being killed as a heretic as the most previous reformers. The second was the recent invention of the Gutenberg printing press in the year 1440. The printers had few sources from which to print, so they seized on Luther's theses and printed many copies, first in original Latin, and then obtained a German translation and printed many more, and then translations into French and Spanish and English. And the third reason he succeeded was the disgust of the rulers, and also many people, with the corruption of Rome. However, in 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Luther was excommunicated by the Pope and condemned as an outlaw by the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V. He was saved from death by the Duke of Saxony and spent 2 years in hiding in a monastery while translating the Bible. Luther's translation of the Greek Bible into Saxony German vernacular was printed on the Gutenberg press and was made available to many Germans and thus created a common German language, which was called Old High German or Hochdeutsch. It also influenced first English translations and helped spread the first Reformation churches, the Lutheran Church. In his personal life, he married Catherine von Bora, a former nun, which example allowed Protestant clergy to marry. They had 6 children, 4 of which had survived childhood. He also had some negative character traits common of the age. He initially was sympathetic to the Jews, but became very anti-Semitic when he couldn't convince them to convert. He also was not at all sympathetic with the peasants in the Peasants' Revolt of 1530. Well, enough of Luther for now. Let me compare that to the origins of Unitarianism, which may be thought to start as early as the 3rd century Common Era. By 325 CE, the Roman Emperor Constantine I had converted to Christianity, probably for political purposes, and called all the divergent Christian sects together, all the bishops, together in the Council of Nicaea in Turkey. He insisted they agree upon a common creed, the Nicene Creed, which proclaimed Trinitarian theology. That is, one God who had 3 persons or personalities, God the Father, who is Creator, the Son, Jesus, who is the Redeemer, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, who brought wisdom, and who brings wisdom and love and compassion to human beings. Now there was a monk, Arius from Alexandria, who proclaimed that Jesus, while the Son of God, was subordinate to God, since God had created him. Thus there was only one God, not a trinity in one God. The Orthodox Church branded Arian theology as heresy, and that was a big deal in those days. However, in spite of this, Arianism persisted for several centuries in Northern Europe. However, by Luther's time, almost all Christian theologians had accepted the Trinitarian viewpoint, including the New Lutheran Church. However, Lutheran advanced the causes of a more liberal religion by at least 10, if not hundreds of years, by successfully confronting the Roman Catholic Church. He started the Reformation, which was further supported by Ulrich Zwingli and John Calvin in Switzerland, and also by a number of other people, including Henry VIII of England, when he split with the Catholics to divorce and marry Anne Boleyn. One of the first Reformation Unitarians was Miguel Cervantes, that's his Spanish pronunciation, of Spain, a polymath who published his anti-Trinitarian views as well as his condemnation of infant baptism. He was arrested by prosecutors in France where he was studying. He escaped to Geneva, Switzerland, where John Calvin convinced the authorities to burn him at the stake as a heretic. However, the Unitarian theology, using the teachings of Cervantes and Socinian, another Unitarian of that age, did thrive in Transylvania, where supported by the local leaders, and in Poland in the late 16th century. Some scholars believe Cervantes was not really a Unitarian in either the 17th century or the modern sense, but perhaps he can be considered a Universalist, since he believed all men can be saved by a merciful God. The rest of the 16th century was filled with religious wars between Catholics and Protestants, and with Henry VIII making the English Church independent of Rome. Liberal thinking, especially the belief in the freedom of conscience, led to the Enlightenment of the 17th and 18th centuries, started by René Descartes and Baruch Spinoza, and later by Voltaire, Rousseau, and Kant. Unitarian churches evolved in England, which included the presence of Benjamin Franklin at one of their services in the 1760s. Unitarian churches also developed in New England in the 18th century and spread throughout the country. Transcendentalists arose in the 19th century, including some of the founders of the Unitarians, such as Ralph Waldo Emerson. There are many differences, of course, between UU and Lutheran theology. Luther was a man of his time, with many of their prejudices. He pushed for either expelling or killing Jews in Germany, but once they were out, he would allow them, as well as Muslims and Catholics, to believe what they will. UUs are currently more tolerant, as anyone may believe whatever theology they will, and still be Unitarian Universalists, as long as they follow the precepts of respecting all human beings, with deep regard for intellectual freedom and inclusive love. UUs originated from liberal Christianity, but believing in the unity of one God, however one chooses to interpret the word God. About 100 years ago, there was a great controversy in the Unitarian Church between spiritual humanists and liberal Christians. Their compromise eventually became the current seven principles developed in 1987 that do not mention God or Jesus. In summary, they emphasize the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, the right of conscience, and peace and liberty and justice for all. To support these principles, UUs have developed a diverse and inclusive individual faith from many religious and humanist traditions. Unitarian Universalists place emphasis on spiritual growth and development. The official statement of Unitarian Universalist principles describes the sources upon which current practice is based. In abbreviated form, they are direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, the words and deeds of prophetic women and men, wisdom from the world's religions, Jewish and Christian teachings that call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves, humanist teachings which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and results of science, and finally, spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions. Lutherans believe in the Bible, in the Trinitarian God, and the power of God's grace to forgive everyone and bring them to eternal life. This is part of their creed and belief system derived from the Bible, with mild acknowledgments of the Church Council of Nicaea. Unitarian Universalists have considerably diverged from that orthodoxy, while still accepting those who believe it. So welcome all. We respect you and your beliefs, whatever they may be. Amen.